I want you to look again this morning. I want you to notice a very familiar text in the Bible to those of us who are saved, a text that we actually referenced a few weeks ago in a message and ever since has been running through my mind and speaking to my heart. 1 Corinthians 4, notice verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." A steward, you may recall, is a term in Scripture that referenced and referred to a person, that person in the household, who was hired, who was employed in order to oversee, to manage, and to care for all the resources, the affairs of the home. He was a trustee, and thus he was trusted. The Greek word that Paul uses here is oikonomos. It means house servant. It comes from two Greek words, the word house and the word law. And you know, in the land of Israel and in the Near East, this house servant, this steward, the Bible says, was a lot more than just a common slave. The truth is, he was the main person in that household that managed all of the affairs under the direct supervision of the owner of the home. In other words, he possessed a certain authority. He had a certain amount of power and resources at his disposal, and in that position, he carried a tremendous amount of responsibility and trust. So that a steward obviously had the ability to do his householder much good, but he also had the ability to do the householder much, much harm. And so here's the picture that Paul is painting for us. The Lord Jesus is the householder. He is the owner of the house. And it is he as the owner who has put us as his people in charge of certain parts of the house and who has given to us all the resources we need to do our calling, do our job as stewards, as Christians in this world. The only thing is, we must never forget, ever, that we are only the stewards of these resources. We don't own them. He owns them, which means, of course, that we are accountable to Christ. We must always work, therefore, under His will and under His supervision. So that, yes, here's what you are this morning, among other things, as a Christian. Among being a child of God, an ambassador of Christ, here's something else you are. You're a steward. You are a steward who has been given by God certain responsibilities, and again, these resources, all that you need to carry out the responsibilities and the calling that God has given to you. The question that Paul addresses here is what is exactly it is that God expects. What is it that God wants of us as stewards, he says, quote, of the mysteries of God? What is the main responsibility of a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you know, the Holy Spirit, as only God's Word can do in this one little text, gives the perfect answer. In some respects, maybe the only answer to that question. Look at it again, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In other words, above all else, the Bible says, more than anything, more than merely things that are desirable, more than things that are beneficial, it is God's will that there's one thing that is required. It is absolutely required of us, flat out required, that His stewards be found, what? Faithful. Tomorrow, as you know, is an American federal holiday observed every year, the last Monday of May. Its purpose is for us to remember those men and women who've died. They died giving their lives while serving in the United States Armed Services. And if you were to do a Nexus search, a Nexus Lexus search, or if you were to do a similar phrase history, you will find that the number one expression concerning this very important day tomorrow is this, quote, remembering the faithful. Remembering the faithful. You know, the motto of the United States Marine Corps is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. It's not surprising then that the single greatest approbation given to those who died for our country is, in fact, the word faithful. Well, Paul says it is required. It is required. It's not an option. You're a steward, and you have one great requirement, and so do I, to be a steward, that a man, that a woman be found faithful. The question we want to answer this morning from the Word of God is, what does that mean? What does it mean to be found faithful? Father, I pray you'll help us. Those of us who are stewards, all of us who are Christians, are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards. Christ is the householder. And I pray, Father, we'll know what it means in this requirement that we have. What does it mean to be found faithful? Help us, please. And may we come to the end of our journey. May we come to the end of our service for you and be found faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Moreover, the Bible says it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And by the way, I don't know about you, but I for one am glad that that's the only thing, at least the one thing that God requires. It is required that stewards be found faithful. I'm glad. In other words, it doesn't say that God requires us to be talented. I'm glad that God doesn't require us to be successful as the world defines success. I'm glad God doesn't require us to be rich and wealthy. In fact, I'm glad God doesn't even require us to be super intelligent. Amen? I mean, look, if it required us to be super cute, I'd be okay by that. But aren't you glad? Not all of us are successful, not all of us are wealthy, not all of us are intelligent or beautiful. I'm none of those, but all of us, every single one of us, can be found faithful. And that's what God requires. Which brings us then to this biblical idea of what faithfulness is. What does it mean to be a faithful steward? I assume those of you who are saved today want to stand before God and be able to say, I kept the faith. Stand before God in the judgment seat of Christ, our householder, and to be found there faithful. But what does it mean? How can I be found faithful? There are three things this morning that Paul pointed to in the text and elsewhere in the Word of God that teach us what faithfulness is. The first thing I want you to notice, number one, faithfulness means staying true. It means staying true. Look at verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and, here it is, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ Jesus. Not Timothy's ways, not Timothy's ideas, not Timothy's agenda. Timothy was faithful, the Bible says. He was faithful in the Lord because he did what was he sent to do in Christ. In other words, note this. A steward is someone who is assigned a duty. He has a calling, a position. He is assigned a task or a set of tasks. And at the behest of his master and of his authority, he is to carry out those tasks and those duties. And it is not his prerogative, therefore, not to take those resources that are really his master's resources and use them as his own. Verse 7 says this, look at it. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Why are you better or not better than another person? What hast thou that thou didst not receive from God? You see, folks, your gifts and your abilities, your position, your influence, all of that, your education was given to you by God because every good and perfect gift comes from above. So that a faithful steward is one who stays true to his owner's desire. For example, if a steward misuses his master's home or his master's finances, and maybe he, for self-gratification, or he promotes himself or his wealth, maybe he's shrewd, maybe he's clever, maybe he's cunning, but one thing he's not faithful. He is not a faithful steward. When I was 14 years of age, a very wealthy man my mom worked for, owned a bunch of pharmacies in North Carolina, hired me to take care of his two little boys. And these boys were probably 7, 9 years of age, little spoiled kids. But I got to go over there in this big, huge mansion and take care of them. I remember the second day I was there, I walked in the garage and there were three brand spanking new go-karts. And I asked them, what are those for? And they said, well, our dad bought us those. They had a little baby brother that I wasn't taking care of. Our dad bought us those, but we're not allowed to ride them yet. That's always nice to get something way before you could ever use it. I said, really? I think it's time to ride them, don't you? I gassed them up. We were right, big, huge, probably 20 acres, riding around his property, having a great time. I mean, I didn't have a go-kart. This was awesome. And what do you do with a go-kart? You build a ramp. Of course you build a ramp. So we got some 2x4s and some plywood, and we built a ramp and went up because, you know, after a while, it's just not enough just to go around in the circles. And sure enough, about an hour and a half later, went up on the ramp, boom, landed. He hurt his collarbone. little pudgy boy. And about that time, sure enough, his dad pulled in and saw the go-karts that were supposed to wait till they were 15 or 16, I guess. I don't know. And he called me in. He was a businessman, and he sat me down, and he gave me a lecture, and it was a long, he didn't fire me. But he reminded me that these things were not mine, that they belonged to him, that they were under my care for a little while, and his sons were under my care, but that I was not being a very good watchman. I was not being a very good steward. You know what God has called us to do, and what God has called us to be true to, is infinitely more important and significant than property, go-karts, and houses. He says in verse 1, look at it again, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of what? The mysteries of God. In other words, folks, we are stewards of what we've been given in this book. We are stewards of the thing that saved us, the reason we're here today, the gospel. And in that sense, it is a faithful steward who stays true to what? To this book. Not to what society says about this book. Not to what changes are about this book, but to the word and to the will of God. You know, one of the greatest responsibilities of the President of the United States is presented in what he says when he gives his oath, which is to, quote, faithfully execute the laws of the Constitution of the United States. In other words, the President, above all else, is the Constitution's steward. So you know what? Under oath, he swears to uphold the laws of the Constitution and swears to do so how? The word in the oath is the word faithfully. Faithfully. That means keeping faith with the words and the meaning of the words in those in the Constitution. It means staying true. I've said many times before, but beloved, this is not our book. We didn't write it. We didn't concoct it. It is not our prerogative to edit it or take out portions. As I heard a former president just the other day say, well, you know, those portions really, they're outdated, they're cultural. That's not our calling. This is his book. This is not our gospel. This is not our truth we came up. This in no way, shape, or form is this church my church. This is Christ's church. It was his church before I came. It'll be his church long after I'm gone. And so with God's truth, he has entrusted to our care. Faithfulness as a steward means staying true. Here's what I say. Let's do that. Let's stay true. Staying true. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, number two. The second thing you'll notice is not only is it staying true, number two, it means being you. In other words, a faithful steward never forgets who he is and who he represents. Notice again what Paul says in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the great apostle Paul and bishop of Rome. Is that what he says? Let a man so account of us as of the mighty missionary, leader of all Asia, the grand poobah, and I am your father in the faith. That's not what he says. Let a man, look at it, so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries. Look back at chapter 3 and verse 5. Who then is Apollos? Who is Paul, he says? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe. You see, the Greek word translated ministers, diakonos, it literally means slave or servant. Paul said, I'm just a servant. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how many gifts or how many resources or positions or even titles as apostle that Paul was given or anyone was given as a steward, in the end, he's still a steward. And being faithful as a steward means being you, a steward, a servant of God. You know, you think about the amazing faithfulness of a man named Joseph in the book of Genesis. You know, when Joseph was Potiphar's steward, he never, ever forgot who he worked for. He didn't work for himself. He didn't work for Potiphar's wife. And while she didn't care who she was, Joseph certainly did and always did. Joseph knew his position in that house. And his position was to look after Potiphar under the guidance of God in heaven and nothing else. Later, when God promoted him to the second in all of Egypt, you remember, Joseph still remained faithful. And he was faithful as a steward of Pharaoh, no less. So that the Bible says over and over again the same phrase about this man. It says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph. As a steward, Joseph was always faithful because he never forgot who he was. You realize that he stockpiled food that fed basically the world. He could have abused that position very easily. Most anybody else would have. But in that position, Joseph was not only good to the poor, he was really, really good to his householder. He was faithful. You know, I suppose some of the most obnoxious people in the world, at least to me, are those people who work for someone really powerful or really wealthy. And instead of knowing who they are, they abuse their position and act like they rule the kingdom all by themselves. When I worked at the Holiday Star Theater near Chicago, people just like that came in all the time in these advance teams for celebrities and sports stars. And you know, it was interesting to me because Bob Hope was always pleasant. He was always kind and nice. But his steward at that time was a big-time jerk, if I can use that word in the pulpit. George Foreman, super nice. He was a fighter. But you know, he was so nice, I told him once, I said, Mr. Foreman, do you know that you could actually sell grills and make a lot of money and not just fight? That was a great idea. He was the nicest man, but you know what? His advance man was a little scrawny guy who acted like he was the heavyweight champion of the world. I cannot tell you how many times I heard people say, do you know who I am? Do you know who I work for? As an employee of that resort, I had to be all impressed and, you know, oh, yeah, who, and all accommodating. But I was always thinking, yeah, I know who you are. You're a little talentless nobody who's living a delusional life of who you are. And, you know, I realized back then, stewards like that always give their householder a bad name. Stewards of the mysteries of God who remember who they are, they don't give the Lord a bad name. They know they're servants of the Most High God. Mahatma Gandhi once said, I'd be a Christian were it not for Christians. You see, Gandhi saw an awful lot of bad stewards, both of Great Britain and of Christ, when he lived in India. Ladies and gentlemen, if you name the name of Christ today, you belong to the Lord Jesus, then you are being watched by lost people and new converts. And as stewards of God's message, as stewards of God's book, therefore God is expecting you to be found faithful. That is, to be who you are as His representative. I've said many times before that when I was a boy, my dad used to say to me and my brothers, sons, you're a Blaylock. Don't forget that you're a Blaylock. I expect you to look like a Blaylock and to act like a Blaylock and to talk like a Blaylock. And so I did. I robbed banks and I beat up little kids, threw rocks at cars. Actually, what I took from my dad's admonition was that since I was a Blaylock, I was responsible for being a steward of that name, whatever it meant to him. And essentially, that's what you and I are called to do with the name Christian. We are stewards of the Most High God. We are Christians, and as Christians, we are stewards of who we are. One thing's for sure. There are already in this country enough professing Christians in this world who apparently do not appreciate who they really are. I was reading the book of Daniel some time ago, and I came across a text that shows why Daniel was a faithful steward, and he was. Here's what he says in Daniel 6. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. In other words, far from home. Young people, hear this. You go off to college, you're away from home, you're away from church, you're away from the Bible. This was a young man who was away from all of it, far more than you are. Far from home, in Babylonian captivity, renamed, this man Daniel remained faithful because he remained who he was, a child of God, a steward of God. You know, sort of like the country preacher I remember once in North Carolina who said, be what you is, because if you be what you ain't, then you ain't what you be. I don't even know what I just said, but I think it was good. I'm pretty sure it was good. In other words, be who you are. And who we are servants of God. We are stewards of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithfulness means staying true. It means, number two, being you. Number three, and maybe most importantly and significantly, faithfulness means seeing it through. In other words, not just staying true and being you for a week. Not just staying true and being you for a month or for a year. Faithfulness as a steward is staying true at all times and for all times. Our 35th wedding anniversary is tomorrow. Louise and I, in the last few weeks, I've been thinking about anniversary cards, and so I looked. Do you know that there's a Hallmark card that says, "I cannot promise you forever, but I can promise you today." Whoa, that's a good one, girls. Latch on to that guy. I mean, that's some commitment right there. That's the marriage where the couple says on their fifth anniversary, "We've been married for 5 years, and it feels like 5 minutes underwater." I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. I think a lot of Christians say that. Faithfulness means that you will start out staying true, and you will end up, if it's 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 30 or 50, when God calls you home, you will still be true. And you know something, beloved? That's one of the amazing experiences of pastoring, because at the same time, you witness the sad condition of those who quit and who drop out. I've said this before, we could fill all of these pews up 5 times again with people that came, got saved, got baptized, were faithful, now money, careers, popularity, things. They don't need the Lord anymore. But at the same time that I've seen that, and that's heartbreaking, and it would be the most heartbreaking thing of all and just drive you literally out of the ministry, except for this, you also see those who persevere, who never quit, who not only were they not distracted or drawn away by money or success or career, but in the midst of great turmoil and trial and heartache and pain and persecution and suffering, they're still there. There are folks in this room who were faithful stewards when I came to this place 27 years ago. And they're still faithful stewards. If anything, they're even more faithful. There are folks in here who have joined the church since I came. Some, many got baptized and saved since I've come. And in spite of opposition from others, they've chosen to stay faithful. They're seeing it through. Keep on serving. Keep on giving, praying, witnessing to the very end. This, beloved, is a faithful steward. And our God says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And God would say to you and me, beloved, don't quit, don't give up, don't stop staying true and being who you are, because it's required. If you think about it, it's a divine requirement that you and I continue until we finish our race. It's not required that we be successful. It's not required that we look good. It's not required that we be popular, but it is required that we do not quit. When Elizabeth Prentice suffered the tragic loss of her 2 children. It was finally, at that moment and at last, just too much, she said, for her to bear. She had already been an invalid most of her adult life. She had already known the experience of chronic pain throughout her body. Already she knew the feeling of people's accusations who somehow felt that her suffering must be her fault. She was a pastor's wife at the time who, apparently to some, must have lacked faith, even in those days. If you've got all these problems, it's your problem, your lack of faith. And yet all of her life, she faced her trials with cheer and optimism and faith. But then, as we noted, the loss of her 2 children, you know what? That was just too much. So that she sat down, she wrote in her diary these words: "Empty hands, a worn-out, exhausted body, and unutterable longings to flee from a world that has so many sharp experiences." Elizabeth Prentice was pressed beyond measure. But she went alone and she read the scriptures. She cried out to God, She asked why, and she remained faithful. Two nights later, she penned these familiar words, "More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee." She said, "Let sorrow do its work. Sin, grief, and pain, sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee." And the last stanza says this, "Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be my parting cry, my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee." That's called seeing it through. There was a man in the New Testament who was a steward. The responsibilities he had, the privileges he had, the opportunities he had were amazing. His name was Demas. But he was not faithful because he did not see it through. He was not found faithful. I found myself compelled, I'm not even sure why, but this morning to think about and to pray for a pastor in Iran who was arrested some time ago for his faith in Christ. This pastor was told to convert. His wife would be forced to marry a Muslim. He would be dragged out in the streets and stoned to death or worse. And every single time he's been brought before in that court or that tribunal in that Islamic Republic, every single time he has stayed true to Christ. And I'm convicted in my heart and my soul, reminded that this man who knows that he will die for his faith if God does not intervene, he was found and is found to this moment faithful. We may be faithful as well. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for those who have gone before us in service to you, even those in service to our nation. God, we are thankful for anyone and everyone that was found faithful as a steward. I pray, God, that they will encourage us and convict us to do the same. Help us to stay true to you and to your word. Help us to see it through, Father. Help us not to just be faithful for a year or 10 or 5, but always. Help us to be always faithful. And in so doing, give you glory and bring honor and blessing to the name Christ and not shame. And we will praise you for the fruit that comes because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.